All right, let's move to item 495.
495, revised transportation fees, rates, and charges for fiscal year 2015-16 and fix an effective date.
Commissioner Novick.
Colleagues, this ordinance is PBOT's annual update of transportation fees, rates, and charges in accordance with city policy. The ordinance makes adjustments to fee rates and charges effective July 1st, 2015. The revenue from the fee adjustments is included in the mayor's proposed budget for PBOT. When setting fees, PBOT considers the city's priority for full cost recovery, a reserve of sufficient revenue to support services during periods of declining economic activity. One thing I want to mention before turning this over to Christine and Jody is that one area where you see some fee increases this year is in Schedule D, fees involving lane closures and sidewalk closures. And with the boom in construction recently, we hear periodically from businesses who say that work on the street and the sidewalks is disruptive to their businesses, and we hear that, and that's a concern. And we think that if we add some additional staff resources to doing more intense reviews, working with the developers and the neighborhood to figure out how to mitigate those impact on businesses, we should, in fact, be able to do so. Thank you. Christine?
Thank you. Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Christine Leon, and I'm the Portland Bureau of Transportation Manager of Development, Permitting, and Transit. So I would like to just cover briefly some of the things before you today. So PBOT's annual fee schedule includes six fee schedules. So attachment A is parking, B is land use reviews, C is development and right-of-way construction use and miscellaneous permits and fares, D is the reserve use for parking, lanes, and sidewalks. E is miscellaneous, which includes our leaf day fees, as well as film, video, bike parking, and et cetera. And then Schedule F is regulatory. With me this morning is Jody Yates, and she can answer questions regarding the regulatory and parking rates if there's any questions later. So essentially, one of the main differences between our fee increases and decreases and BDS is PBOT is not at full cost recovery yet for a number of our fees. So we also have insufficient reserves for operating to meet those city goals. So some of our fees are increasing, some of them are remaining flat, and some of them are also decreasing. So when we set our fees, we consider the customer impacts in the larger context of the comprehensive city fees and services. So a number of our fees are going to be incrementally increased this year to try to achieve cost recovery where we haven't achieved that yet. They're also factored in based on the size and the scale of the development or the use. Consideration is given to the broader community use and impact, such as block parties and public art. The Bureau objectives in the Portland Progress regarding Vision Zero and livable streets are also factored in. Improving performance and customer service and being a partner with customers is also a huge factor. And providing efficiencies and innovations, such as our utility coordination project and making sure that we're ready to deliver with the ITAP project. So for the past 5 years, PBOT has done outreach to our Budget Advisory Committee, Development Review Advisory Committee, private utilities, Northwest Natural Gas, PGE, PP&L, for example, community and neighborhood groups, permit holders, small and large businesses and restaurants, as well as our development services customers and frequent users. So this fee package includes input from those customers and those factors. So the programs that we are not going to be increasing any fees this year include our SDC rate. There will be no increase this year. Also, there is no increase to the area parking permit rates, no meter rate changes, no changes in the hourly parking garage rates, no changes to leaf day fee, Sunderland Yard recycling tipping fees, and related fees. There are no changes to a number of other fees, but I wasn't going to cover all the details. not all of the fees on these schedules affect any one customer or developer or property owner. As I mentioned, we are not at full cost recovery yet, particularly in the development review fees. So we have considered how those incremental adjustments would affect our customers. The increases do allow more cost recovery to be collected, as well as more GTR, general transportation revenue, to be allocated to other transportation services. So I'm going to get into a little bit more detail. Regarding the meter rates, there will be a committee form to evaluate a meter increase, which will follow our current policy document prescribing a public process. For the private for hire transportation, there will be no changes at this time. However, I believe Jody will be at City Council in August with a recommendation from the task force. For the land use reviews, the majority of the increases are 15%, which we have capped. Half as many as those, though, are decreasing or remaining flat. A handful are capped at 25% increase this year as well. Building plan review fees are increasing also for PBOT. The residential are increasing at about 5 to 8%. And for commercial, it's increasing depending on the size. So the majority of the commercial reviews we get are less than $250,000 in value. Those fees will be increasing about $114 each review. We are capping the increase to our early assistance review at 5%. Again, it's another program that's not at full cost recovery for PBOT, but we feel that this will be a continued program to be subsidized by PBOT to give good customer service. The final plat reviews are decreasing by 15%. This is due to staff efficiencies and our good working partnership with Multnomah County, and I think just getting the word out to land surveyors and developers on the requirements of the plats. And then some of the other rates that remain flat regarding development are our public works appeal fees, as well as I mentioned, the SDC rates are remaining flat. Commissioner Novick mentioned the changes in Schedule D on the reserve parking use and the request for construction to use sidewalks, lanes, or a full street closure. And those fees are increasing to make sure that we have incentives for developers to mitigate the impacts of their construction on the users of the transportation system. So we are going to be doing an increased review and continuing through the utility and permit coordination to do an enhanced look at the requirements of developers with respect to sidewalk closures and making sure that there's a good reporting and a good inspection, and bringing on staff to make sure that we're doing that in a very timely fashion for developers. I'm going to turn it over to Jody to cover the last two items regarding the smart parking garages, and then the other.
Okay. Good morning, Mayor and City Commissioners. My name is Jody Yates. I'm the interim parking group manager. Regarding smart parks, the parking garages, those are the publicly owned garages. They're going to be mostly the increases are in the monthly rates. And those are after we've done market analysis, specifically looking at other garages specific to those areas. First and Jefferson garage will increase from $180 a month to $190. O'Brien Square from $184 to $195. NATO and Davis has the most significant increase from $170 to $185. And 4th and Yamhill will be stopping the monthly program effective July 1. And that'll bring us into full compliance with our land use conditional permit, which has no monthly permits at any of the three retail garages. The retail garages are 3rd and Alder, 4th and Yamhill, and 10th and Yamhill.
We'll have no more monthly at those three garages?
With the exception of we'll have some carpools, which are allowed, and a couple of our tenants do get a monthly permit, but those are allowed. So, okay. Yeah. Daily rates will only change at that Nato and Davis garage from $10 to $11. And as Christine already mentioned, there will be no hourly changes or rates at any of the garages. Those will remain consistent. Regarding Nato and Davis, we're actually finding that we're at full occupancy by 9 to 9:30 in the morning and putting out the full sign. So this is to try and free up some of that parking and make it available for customers later in the day. The mission of the Smart Park garages is to allow for folks to have some off-street parking in those areas. So by already having a full garage at 9 a.m. isn't meeting our own mission. So we're trying to push some of those users into other spaces. Regarding the other fees, the only fee I have here that's going up is the film video permit fees. And talking with our budget analyst, they can't find when they last increased that fee, and it is going up about 11%. But they looked back several years and have not increased it in many years. And that was supported by the film office as well. So are there any questions?
So go ahead.
Did the council at some point make a decision to not have cost recovery in your fees?
So, Mayor and Commissioner, the council has been supportive of PBOT's methodology of doing incremental increases along the way with regard to being sensitive to our customers. So I don't recall that council has ever said don't do full cost recovery.
Right, that was my recollection. I really commend Commissioner Novick and the mayor for all of the discussions we had last year highlighting the scarcity of general transportation tax revenue. And so it seems to me that our policy should be you get what you pay for and you pay for what you get, particularly as we just following up from Development Services saying that they charge cost recovery. Next week I'll be bringing the urban forestry fees for land use reviews where we're going to be asking for cost recovery. So it would seem to me that I appreciate you being sensitive to your customers. However, on the other hand, customers should be expecting to pay for what they get. So that's a policy discussion that maybe the council needs to have. I realize that this ordinance comes together right now.
Commissioner Fritz?
Yes.
If I just yield on one point, I believe the council has a official policy that we adopted in the last 5-6 years that requires all bureaus to move to cost recovery. So I think we've actually taken the position on that. Now, we've left it to the bureaus to how they phase that in. But I believe it is the official policy that we need to move to full cost recovery.
Yeah, that was my recollection, too. So that might be something to look at. Did you want to comment, Commissioner?
Well, I mean, the idea here is to move to full cost recovery while having some sensitivity to the idea that in some instances that might result in percentage rate increases that customers might be startled by. And one of the things that's important to note is, as Christine pointed out, we're constantly reviewing how much time it actually takes to do certain reviews. So in some cases, actually, reviews take less time than they used to. We figured a way to do them more efficiently. And other places, we've realized that things are taking more time than they used to. So we're moving towards full cost recovery in a context of constantly reevaluating what each review actually costs. But this proposal will, in fact, move us closer to full cost recovery, though it won't quite get us there.
I would encourage you to be quicker, and also the percentage increases may be less important than the dollar figure. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what the dollar figure is for $114, what the percentage is for $114 increase in the context of the whole scheme of how much it costs to build a new home. $114 doesn't sound that much to me, and I'd be interested to look at how do our transportation fees compare with other jurisdictions. I did have a couple of specific questions. We have had some discussions about credit card security and payment by credit cards at parking meters. I thought that was going to be part of the proposed fees.
Are you referring to PCI?
Yes.
Okay. We have a meter rate increase that we'll be evaluating with the subcommittee. We have a specific transportation policy that we have to follow if we do proceed with a meter rate increase. We'll bring that probably in the fall bump, and you'll see
that's
at that time.
Later. Yeah. Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah.
And then secondly, we recently raised the wages for people working in the parking garages to $15 an hour.
That's correct.
Why are we not raising the fees to pay for that? Why are we expecting the general fund to pay for that?
Well, you adopted that, I believe, last week, and we did evaluate what that is. It's roughly costing us about $250,000, but it will be we'll phase that in. We will be able to cover that in our budget, or we'll ask for a budget increase. We can ask for a budget increase later. We also have the ability in the garages to come back and change our rates, but we really like them to be reflective of the market and making sure that we're managing parking. The rates are really to manage the garages with the on-street system and make sure that there's parking available for folks.
So, in other words, we're going to look at the on-street rate before we look at the garage rate again, even if we need to recover more costs from the garages, so that we don't have an incentive to circle the block and not go into the garage.
That, right? That makes sense. I would like us to be able to get the cost recovery in the garages in the light of the new
The garages are at cost recovery, so that their rate is okay.
Well, not if we've just increased the cost by $250,000.
We're still okay. From the standpoint of we take the additional any additional revenue, and that becomes part of our general transportation fund. So the garages are at full cost recovery with their maintenance.
But didn't we just allocate aren't we proposing to allocate $950,000 in the mayor's budget to help pay for the $15 an hour? Do you get any of that?
Not sure if it goes to transportation or just to general fund bureaus. That's a good question.
I'm not sure.
Can I follow up on a couple of those points? On the systems development charge that you are not recommending an increase, that's page 8 of 8, Exhibit C, what percentage of cost recovery is that currently?
So the SDC methodology is established by code and by the program that we have in place, and so the increases follow the cost of construction as set by the Federal Highway Administration, and so that's pretty much locked in.
But we are at what percentage of cost recovery are under the agreed-upon methodology?
So for the system development charges, it's not based on a cost recovery model on staff. It's based on a CIP forward-looking model of...
I apologize for not asking the question artfully, but we are at what percent towards that model?
So when we put in place our current citywide SDC list, council capped the rate that we would collect from development at about, I believe it's about 40% of what the study indicated. So we are not capturing all of the costs due to growth for getting revenue for the projects that are on our citywide SDC list. Again, part of what council decided at the time is to have a rate set that was about in the middle of what the regional partners had for SDC rates.
Well, and just in practical terms, if the SDC is not pegged to the actual impact of the new development, the cost, the incremental impact on the transportation, who covers the difference?
So the cost due to growth and new development from a system is allocated to new development.
Right.
The cost for a frontage improvement or if there is a level of service deficiency at a signal is allocated towards new development or somebody going through a land use. The cost to fix our system and to get us into a state of having sidewalks everywhere and have the deficiencies all corrected is unfunded.
So if you didn't have a council directive to cap SDCs, and if you didn't care about what your customers thought about the rate, at page 8 of 8, what would be your recommended rate for single-family residential? What is the true rate from your point of view, not the one that is adjusted by virtue of policy decisions of this council?
So our current citywide SDC program is in its second 10 years of the renewal. In 2017, it expires. So we're going to be starting a new committee looking at another renewal period, probably 10 years, next year, involving citizens and technical stakeholders. So there's a lot of things that we can look at as far as new methods, footprint size.
Let's assume you don't. I appreciate the discussion, but assume you don't change the methodology. And maybe I'm being inartful in my questions, but I'm asking just a very straightforward question. If given the current methodology, if the SDC reflected the full amount you could recover under that methodology without any limitation based on council, prior council actions or concerns about customer impact, the 2814 number would grow to what?
That's in our report. I will get it to your office.
Sounds like you're 40%. Yeah. It'd be somewhere north of $6,000, right?
I think so, but we have it studied. Yeah.
I know that every SDC is different. We've gone through this recently with the Bureau of Environmental Services, where it turned out, you know, during the recession, the council rolled back the percentage for certain development because we're in a recession, and now we're going to roll it back to what we consider full cost recovery. So just be interested in what that number is. I'm building in the assumptions that council hadn't directed you to do something, and you're not taking into consideration the rate impact, the shock, the sticker shock. Just what would that number be in a perfect world, just so we have something to compare it to?
Sure.
On page 7 of 8 on Exhibit C, one of the biggest jumps that I can find in the charts is commercial buildings value of $1 million, and it goes up quite dramatically. What's the reason for that?
So the commercial building review fee is not at cost recovery yet. So what the staff has done is looked at the time involved to do those reviews, and they become more complex with respect to developments that don't have parking requirements. So parking is accomplished in the neighborhood on street, and so the neighborhood is involved in some of the decisions and the reviews. We want to get the word out and be a working partner with them. Also, loading is another issue that comes up.
Is it safe to say that, just as Commissioner Novick said, there may be some instances where you're doing certain reviews more efficiently and economically, and therefore the cost goes down? This is an example where the building plan review process has gotten more complicated, so the cost, the increase in cost, reflects the additional staffing and cost of actually doing what you're required to do?
Yes, thank you. That's a good summary.
Right, sizing it. Yes. Is that right, Commissioner?
And Commissioner, I just have to say that I appreciate your inviting us to figure out exactly what we would be collecting if we actually wanted to pay for the projects that we think are necessary to accommodate growth. And that's why we would hope that that would be part of an overall process of our citywide looking at SDCs and kind of figuring out, okay, what will the market bear?
Yeah.
How should we allocate what the market will bear among the various bureaus, in effect?
And I recognize that some SDCs are forward-looking, some are backward-looking. We have different methodologies, even between bureaus. But the one thing that I think is useful in this exercise is to compare the number that we're adopting against whatever the ceiling is, mm-hmm. and understanding what is the ceiling under the methodology. Because I'm not aware that anyone has raised a question about your methodology currently. But so assuming your methodology, what are the restraints that keep you from hitting the ceiling that you'd otherwise want to be at if that was what you were allowed to do? And that gives us a chance to then benchmark where you are and your recommendation. Mm-hmm. The last question I had was about meter rates and convening a committee. Of course, the most important thing about convening a committee is the charge you give the committee. So what do you intend to charge the committee with? They will be charged with coming up with a plan to generate more revenue for some specific purpose? Or what in broad strokes would be the charge to the committee?
The charge to the committee is we've gone and done an analysis of the parking spots within downtown and actually some of the other areas, South Waterfront, Lloyd, and find that the occupancy in downtown during several hours of the day is upwards of 90 to 95%. The ideal parking number is 85% for appropriate turnover. And so we're going to have them evaluate if they want to increase the meter rates to achieve more turnover. We'll also look at are the time stays, so 1 hour, 90-minute, two-hour spots, are those appropriate? Those are the general charges that we'll be giving the committee.
Good, thank you.
Right. So, Mayor and Commissioners, if I may, I just got a note from staff. So they are working back in the office and looked at what the rate would have been on the single-family residential without a cap, and it would be about $7,000. So the two constraints, though, on our SDC program are what we chose to look at for the capital list as well as the cap that we had of 40%. So that's taking out the 40%. If we had had a broader list of capital projects, then it would have been a larger number. But that's just the self-imposed one from council.
So this good discussion highlights a couple of policy discussions. One I mentioned yesterday, that we as a council need to look at the cost of housing and our housing strategy and the cost of our own fees as a component of that, and to look across the board. We're going to act on the Parks SDC today, but we need to look at all of our cost of doing business effects that we have as a city. So therefore, we need to look at this set of fees again as well. So I want to highlight, I think our discussion yesterday and today illustrate why it's important that we get to this at a higher level, at a more of a citywide view, and then bear down on how is your bureau coming along against council policy, whether it's about policy to achieve cost recovery over time or amendments or changes to that that we might make. So I want us to just flag the need for that. I think this helped highlight it. Secondly, I believe I've got this right. I came to understand during the budget process that we have another complexity with transportation systems development charges, in that they are accumulating quite a bit of money in the fund, but they're unable to spend it as rapidly as we would like because they don't have non-SDC matching funds to couple with those dollars and spend them on actual projects, because those projects aren't 100% about accommodating growth. This project might be 62% about accommodating growth, or that project might be 45%, but they have to have the other percent, whatever it is, and they don't. So they're sort of gridlocked, not through any failure of administration, but just lack of resources. They're gridlocked on the ability to spend the dollars they have, which is a pretty different situation than we have in parks, you know, in terms of the ability to use the funds. So just wanted to flag that.
Mayor, can that in part be cured by changing the priority list for
in
SDC
part,
projects?
But it's pretty hard in a city that's mostly built like we are to find a project that's 90% about growth.
And if we were charging full cost recovery with the transportation SDCs, we wouldn't have to put so much general fund money in as you have in this budget. We could use our general fund to then provide that match.
If we could, yes, so, if we had the match.
Yes, but we would have it if we weren't having to dedicate so much general fund into things like the $15 an hour in the parking garages and into the projects on the streets. So I think the principle should be that new development pays its way. And at this point, new development, I think it would be hard to stop it, and if there's a time to get full cost recovery, it's now or in the near future.
Yeah. One other smallish.
Sorry. I felt like I didn't answer Commissioner Fritz's question very well earlier regarding the $250,000 increase to the parking garages. Basically, we will be subsidizing that with our general transportation revenues, which I do believe is what you were getting at. So.
Yeah. Which is,
and we shouldn't be doing that. Yeah, we should be
something we ought to look at.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. I really appreciate your laying this out. And Commissioner, I think partly because I learned so much last year about transportation funding and lack thereof, I really appreciate how you've been very clear on the strategy, why you're doing what you're doing, and I'm certainly willing to alter that in the very near future, because I think we're certainly going to need to look for other revenue in addition to that. We should certainly make sure that the current funding mechanisms are getting cost recovery.
Just to state the obvious, we make money off the garages. If our cost increase, we make less money, but it's not like we're losing money off the garages.
That's correct.
So two other things I just want to flag. I didn't quite understand this before, but if you look at Exhibit C, those fees, or several of them, are talking about the right-of-way use fees. for sky bridges and tunnels and such. That's essentially rent. We're renting you a piece of the right-of-way.
That's right.
Pioneer Place or whoever you are, right? So that's not cost recovery. That's
market rate.
Market rate.
Right.
So interesting. Wanted to flag that issue in particular. We might want to look at whether that is, again, appropriate to current market values. Secondly, just wanted to flag the SkyBridge issue in particular because I don't want us to get too addicted to SkyBridge revenue because we have city policy that very explicitly discourages and I think should outright prohibit additional SkyBridges, and we have a whole bunch of people that are proposing them right now. So we're going to have a policy conflict here shortly, at least in the form of some land use applications, where people think it's still possible somehow to get a sky bridge, and I thought we'd close that door.
Well, actually, I think Commissioner Novick and I are interested in opening that discussion, because I think there are some places, the Russellville Retirement Home being one, where a sky bridge makes complete sense, and there are other places, such as downtown, where we want to keep people on the pedestrian street, that it doesn't. So I think
we'll have that debate.
I know that Commissioner Novick's willing to have that discussion.
Be careful about opening what a former county commissioner called Pandora's can of worms, because that's a wormy one.
So tune in next week for the Battle of the Sky Bridges.
Maybe several weeks, given what I've heard is coming our way. Third minor issue I wanted to just flag on Schedule D, which Commissioner Novick mentioned earlier. Those are relatively modest fees for closing a lane or closing a street. I assume that's mostly during the construction process. We don't apparently differentiate between closing a lane on a street where there aren't parking meters and one where there is, or am I just missing that in the schedule?
So the Schedule D and the way you are assessed permits and fees vary depending on if you're in a meter district or not.
I do. Okay.
Yeah.
So we charge more, I would assume, if you close a lane and therefore wall off the access to a set of meters that we'd be earning revenue on all day long, all week long, while you have your street closure, right?
So the travel lane closure and the street lane closure don't vary depending on where you are in the city necessarily, but what does get affected is the reserve parking rate. So there is a historic partnership with BDS. They have a rate of 18 cents per foot that's assessed for parking spaces for construction in the meter district,
okay,
which on an average space is about $8,000.
Okay, week. I get it. All right, good. Thank you. Other questions? We've peppered you with a whole bunch of them. Thank you for addressing all those council questions. Anything else for the two of you? Okay, thank you. And we'll see if there's anyone who's signed up to speak on this item.
We had one speaker sign up, and that was Mr. Ray. Do you have more to say on transportation?
It's got to be on this issue, though, sir. It's got to be on just this issue. Not on your proposal, but on
well,
fees.
I did. Left out something. I wanted to say last time. Well, on this issue, only thing I could say, Mr. Mayor, is that it boils down to one thing. It's a money issue, and like every city, they're facing every other city I've been to. I've been to 43. This is my 44th city. They're facing a money issue, and I think the best solution is embracing this worldwide marketing movement. I just want to say this. I won't get into that, but I just want to say this because I didn't get a chance to say this last time.
Let me
just say this. I will be a candidate for the presidency of the United States of America to address the needs of the poor and the struggling middle class, because the poor and the middle class does not have a voice in the Republican or the Democratic parties.
Okay,
I just want to make it clear that This is the city I will announce my candidacy from on June 6th, and I need your support, and the whole nation will be watching Portland to see if she's going to do what she's supposed to do insofar as launching this $100 billion campaign that will literally end homelessness and get people off the streets with up to $3,000 of revenue earmarked for that purpose. So I have to say that. And if on a closing note, if anyone wishes to reach me, I'm Winston Michael Ray. You can reach me on my cell at area code 206- 239 0797, and this is the outfit I'll be wearing throughout my candidacy. So I thank you. But yeah, let's get back to the money issue. The city needs money, and we are earmarking enough of it to take care of the needs of the poor and things you need to build up the city, to the infrastructure.
Thank you. You take care.
Thank you now. And I'm going to be getting back with your office, and we're going to meet soon because we're looking at 17 days in counting. Thank you now. Winston Netzel, I'll be your candidate as an independent for president.
Good morning, Commissioners. Charles Johnson for the record. I want to thank the mayor for raising the issue of street closings on streets versus non-parking revenue streets and parking revenue streets. But I also want to encourage the city to do better for all its citizens, not just ones that need a place to pay to stash their car. After the People's Climate March, when 400,000 people marched through the streets of New York, I was able to spend most of a month in Manhattan. And what I noticed in Manhattan is that, although some people will say New Yorkers are brusque, the city cares about people. They have a Department of Homeless Services where anybody can go and get shelter if they don't have a complicating legal issue or mental health issue the very first night of their homelessness. And they have...
Could you go to this subject, Charles?
No, I'm actually going to drag it out for 3 minutes because you're impatient, rude jerks. But...
Charles, please. We have a rule that people come and...
I'm getting to that point, and I don't care if the police take me out, so you can decide how long you want to be here. So the point pertaining to this is that you close sidewalks. Go ahead, turn my microphone off.
Cut your mic off, Charles. You don't get to do this.
No, you don't get to do what you're doing. Let me get back to the point of collecting revenue for construction closures. That is the issue before us, is it not?
Then go to that issue, please. You know how to do that.
Your distractions are disgusting. However, the issue is sidewalk closures. How is it that a developed city can make skyscrapers happen without closing sidewalks, and you are constantly closing sidewalks for developers without, I'm a layperson, I'm not an employed expert on how the street closures and sidewalk closures happen, but it's crystal clear that in addition to your good idea, Mayor, of assessing the revenue impact on parking availability spaces, we should also realize that all over the world, construction companies build things without closing sidewalks. And if construction companies are going to close sidewalks, I think that there should be a financial disincentive that helps cover traffic management in the city. Thank you.
Thanks. We actually have to close sidewalks more here than in other cities, Charles, because we have
blocks are tiny.
Because we have 200-foot blocks, exactly. Yeah, in New York, they have much bigger blocks. So it's a practical question for how you can build anything on a postage stamp compared to where people build elsewhere in the world. Okay, let's move on to anyone else that has public testimony. If not, we'll take this to second reading and then move on to 496.
496, appeal of Preserve the Pearl, LLC, against Design Commission's decision to approve a new full-block mixed-use project in the Central City Plan District's River Subdistrict at 1241 Northwest Johnson Street.
Okay, we have the findings before us. Anyone have any questions or concerns about the findings before I take a motion to adopt them? Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Further discussion? Roll call on adopting the findings.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Novick.
Aye.
Fritz.
I thank Kara Fioravanti and Jeff Mitchum from the Bureau of Development Services, also the Design Commission's diligent work on this project. Aye.
Hales.
Ditto to those compliments and also to the design team and the applicant for coming up with a really excellent project. Aye. Okay. Let's move on to 497.
What, Mayor? 505?
Oh, sorry. It was consent. Sorry, wrong part of the agenda. 505,
appoint Julie Livingston to the Design Commission for a four-year term to expire May 6, 2019.
I don't think Julie is here, but we have our staff here. Come on up. Good morning.
Tim Aaron, Bureau of Development Services. I am not Julie Livingston.
No, you sure aren't, but we're glad that you're here.
But I'm proud to introduce this. Just as a note, this originally was a consent item. A couple of weeks ago, we had just some paperwork shuffle. So this is a little unusual. But as Commissioner Fritz has stated, and you've already received information about Julie's application, she'll be filling the architect position and desperately needed. We've been trying to fill positions since the fall. It's been challenging. As you know, of course, from the state of the city just a month and a half ago, we are exceptionally busy in development. And it's been a hard time getting volunteers to be able to commit that dedication and time. So we're very, very, very happy to have Julie willing, as well as her employer, open to that kind of time and dedication, especially during business hours. So that's all I really have to offer.
And her experience with affordable housing projects is going to be useful.
Yeah, and since you prompted it, I think one of the favorite quotes I had in our appointment for her was, to wrestle good design out of modest budgets.
You're here.
So, her words.
And it looks from the accompanying material here like we still have one vacant position, an architect position. Is that right?
Correct. And we're working right now both in Commissioner Fritz's office. And fortunately, I'll be able to work more closely with Dora Perry just by geography up in the building, which I'm excited about, and look for casting a deeper net of pool of commissioners to choose from. And we hope to be back again soon with additional appointments.
Great. Thank you. Questions? Anyone want to speak on this item?
Yes.
On Julie Livingston, come on up.
One of the things that I noticed this morning, my name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. One of the things I noticed this morning in the consent agenda is there are other people's names that are volunteering for these committees. And you do the consent agenda, and you put it all away, and they get no recognition. And that seemed to me annoying to me, that people give their time, they serve on your committees, and if you do consent agenda, they don't get any recognition at all. And it's just gone. So I would like you to consider at least reading the names of the people that are giving their time and recognize them. If you read the names, it would only take a few minutes. And because I'm an activist, I don't serve on committees. But if I did, and you just did not recognize me at all and did consent agenda, I'd be really angry. So my anger is transmitted to those people today that are going to not be recognized because they go under consent agenda. And I picked this item at the last moment because there is the connection. She's being recognized. Other people aren't. And even though if you're reappointing somebody and they're staying on the same committee, it's their time. You know, they're volunteers. They don't get paid at all. They may get a peanut butter sandwich at one of the meetings. But that's pretty much it. So please figure out a way to recognize them. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I think we have been somewhat random as to whether these things are on consent or on regular. So it's a fair point. So we ought to
I have a policy, and that is that I ask my nominees would they like to be on the regular agenda or not. And sometimes it's a matter of whether they want to be here or not. But I think that is a fair point that we should. And I often do. I didn't this time. So I'm going to take this opportunity to thank Vivek Chandras and Damon Shrosk, who were appointed to the Urban Forestry Commission, and then Mayor Hales and Commissioner. Wait a minute, that's the wrong one.
All right. Also, Teresa Soto, Daniel Franco Nunez, Alicia Zhao, and Sayadam Edmo to the Human Rights Commission.
Yes, and we often do recognize them in that manner. But yeah, just so you know, Mr. Walsh, it is something that I give my nominees the choice about whether they want to be on consent or regular.
Yeah, it's a good point. And one way or another, we ought to thank these people. So they do a lot of work for free. You're absolutely right. Okay, that is previous agenda.
We didn't hear it, though. We pulled it back.
So did it go to second reading?
Yeah.
No, excuse me. It's a report, so
it's a report, not an ordinance? Okay,
motion to accept the report.
Thank
second.
You.
Thank you, sir.
All right, roll call.
Fish?
Mayor, I have known Julie for a long time, and I've seen some of her greatest work that she did with Home Forward, where in affordable housing development and design, she brought a set of values to the table, a conviction that low-income people should be able to live in a space that's functional and beautiful, an attention to detail and to the bottom line, and ultimately to bringing very complex projects to fruition. And there are a number of them, including Bud Clark Commons, that have her fingerprints on them. We're very lucky to have someone of her caliber serving in this capacity, and I enthusiastically support her nomination. Aye.
Salzman.
Aye.
Novick.
Aye.
Fritz.
Yeah, thank you very much to Julie for being willing to serve, and Tim Heron for his excellent staffing of the commission and the design process in general. As he mentioned, we are still looking for another architect. It's been vacant since last year, and I'm holding that vacancy because I really want someone from an underrepresented community to round out our commission membership. Julie certainly adds a lot of value in the scope of the work that she's done, and I really appreciate her service. Aye.
Hales.
Well, if you look at what's happening in the city right now with the amount of growth going on, these commissions are always important, the Landmarks Commission and the Design Commission, but boy, are they important right now. And we've seen from appeals cases how much controversy there is even to a well-designed project. So it's especially difficult duty and a lot that we ask of these folks. So thank you, Julie, and all those who are willing to do this work. Aye.
Mayor, point of order.